This is Hannelore Gabriel interviewing Marie Klockenbrink at her home at 245 West 8th Street. And today is Memorial Day, May 31st, 2004. Marie, tell me please where you were born.
I was born in a little town in San Luis Valley, by the name of Fort Garland. That's where I was born.
Do you remember where you were born in your house, or did your mother go to the hospital?
I was the only one of seven of us in the family that didn't quite make it to the hospital. So I was the only one of the seven children that wasn't born in the hospital, because we were 25 miles away from the nearest hospital.
Where was that?
Alamosa. Alamosa was the nearest town that had a hospital.
And do you remember anything of these very early years when you were, say, under five, your impressions in the area and your playmates and your siblings?
My playmates were mostly my brothers. I had six brothers.
Do you want to tell us their names?
I was the middle child. I had three older brothers and three younger brothers. And my oldest brother's names were, I'll give them to you in the oldest to the youngest. My oldest brother was George, and the second one was Max Jr., and the third one was Fred, and then me, and then my brother Jim, and then Bernard, and then my youngest brother Bobby, Robert. We used to call him Bobby.
Mm-hmm. And your parents' names?
My parents' names, my mother was Josie Romero, Salazar Romero. Actually, her maiden name was Salazar. And my father's name was Max E. Romero.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that all the names of your siblings are Anglo names. Did they at one point have Spanish names?
Well, actually, in those days, the godparents did the name choosing. And my mother was very... she wanted to make it easy and simple for us, so she shortened them or she made them English. They were ordinarily Spanish.
So on the birth certificates, these would have been Spanish names?
Possibly, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because, especially in the baptismal certificates. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the godparents baptized the children and gave them the names.
Tell me something about your parents. Describe your father.
My father was about 5'8", and a gentle man, very gentle and kind, and a very, very hardworking man. He started working when he was about 16 years old as an extra gang member in the railroad. And he worked in the railroad for 47 years.
Where was that?
Over in the San Luis Valley. He was stationed there in Fort Garland. That was our reason for moving there, is because that's where he went to work at. That's where he was stationed. And then he worked different parts of the state from there.
Mm-hmm. And where did your family come from before?
All of them were born in the United States. My grandparents were born in the United States. I don't know about my great-grandparents. I don't have a history of my great-grandparents. But my grandparents were born in New Mexico, and my parents were born in New Mexico, in a little town named Velarde, mm-hmm. New Mexico.
Do you remember what year they may have come to the San Luis Valley?
I don't know, but I think my two oldest brothers might have been already born. I'm not sure about that. But I know my father was born in 1896, and so he was about 16 or 17 when he started working, but I don't remember where he started working on the railroad, but he worked for the Denver and Rio Grande Railroad.
And tell me a little bit about your mother.
My mother was a little tiny woman. She was tiny, probably about 5 foot, maybe not even that tall. And she was very small. She weighed about 105 pounds soaking wet. And she was little but mighty. She was definitely the boss in the family. And she was the disciplinarian. She was pretty much the force behind all of her children.
And
hardworking also. She didn't work out of the home, but mm-hmm. she was a very hardworking woman.
Mm-hmm. And do you know something very specific about the ethnic background, how it was composed? I mean, which kind of elements were there? Was there Spanish and...
Mostly Spanish, yes. Mostly, most of it was Spanish. Mm-hmm. When they came from New Mexico, they spoke entirely in Spanish. But my mother insisted that we speak English because we had to get along in the world of English-speaking people. So we had to, you know, all the schools were, you know, there was English in the schools and so on and so forth. So we had to be sure to go along with what was going on at that time, as far as language was concerned and so on and so forth.
And from what you know or remember or possibly have seen on family photos, would there have been any Native American part?
Oh, absolutely. I think that people, all the people from New Mexico have Native American in them, as they were among the Indians, because I remember my father talking about the Indians. We were brought up as Hispanic. I don't have any connection that I know of, in as far as I know, in Indian, except for my grandfather on my mother's side. And we're not quite sure how much Indian or anything like that. We would have to, you know, research that, which my brother is doing.
Mm-hmm. What group would that have been?
Probably the Utes. Mm-hmm. Or I don't exactly know for sure, but I think Utes was one.
So, where did you go to school?
I went to school in the grade school and in Fort Garland.
And in that school, were most of the children Hispanic?
Yes, most of them, not all of them, but the majority was.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the family names that you remember?
Oh, geez. Martinez. I can't think of right now right off hand, but Mays. That's M-A-E-S. Mm-hmm. Sanchez. Gosh, I can't think of Medina. Most of them were Hispanic names.
So at home, did you speak Spanish then?
My parents spoke Spanish. But my mother wanted us to speak English, so we spoke English most of the time, but we all understood Spanish. We all understood what my parents were talking, and we spoke Spanish too. We spoke both. Mm-hmm. We spoke both.
With your grandparents, did you speak?
In Spanish, I didn't. I only knew my grandfather on my father's side. I didn't. My grandfather on my mother's side died when my mother was about 8 or 9, from what I understand. And so my grandfather on my father's side died soon after I was married. And because I remember going to his funeral in New Mexico.
In school, with the other school children, did you speak mostly English then?
Both, whatever worked, you know, whatever worked. I mean, if we didn't know a Spanish word, we said it in English. And if we spoke English and we didn't know a word, we said it in Spanish. That's the way it worked.
Did you much think about what your identity was at the time?
Actually, no, I knew what I was. I knew that I was Hispanic, and but I didn't feel different than anybody else. It wasn't until much later that I realized that. And then my parents and my aunts and uncles talked about prejudice against the Hispanics in their early years.
Can you cite an example?
Well, two of my aunts, I guess they were cousins, we called them aunts, were going to school in Blanca, which was just 5 miles away from Fort Garland. That was west. And they experienced prejudice. They were not allowed to walk on the sidewalk from what they told us about it. But I myself...
Where did they have to walk?
I don't know if they...
In the middle of the street or somewhere around the outskirts?
Well, it was Blanca is a very small town also. Mm. Very, very small town. But they had sidewalks where Fort Garland did not. And so I don't know. I don't know whether they walked from the school to the little town or where they walked on the sidewalk. I don't know because I don't know. You know, they didn't specify.
Mm-hmm. So who was doing the discriminating? Were there Anglos?
Anglos, I guess. Mm-hmm. Anglos. They talked about it. Even one of my brothers talked about it, particularly when he was when he started to go to college. He experienced some...
Where did he go to
prejudice.
College?
He went to school in Adams State College, which was in Alamosa. And then from there, he went into other colleges from there. But he did graduate. I believe he got his BA degree in Adams State in Alamosa.
So, but while you were in school, you didn't have experience?
I didn't.
Like
actually, when I was little, I didn't pay attention to who was who or what was what. But as I got into high school, the schools consolidated, the Blanca and Fort Garland, and became one school. And so I had a lot of Anglos who were farmers in the area. And they consolidated with Fort Garland, and we were a mixture then of Hispanic and Anglo people. I didn't experience probably some insignificant, at the time I thought it was insignificant anyway, by some, particularly boys. But girls, I got along great with the girls. I had a lot of friends that were not Spanish or Hispanic at all. And we got along great. I still hear from them, and I never felt different with them at all.
Mm-hmm. And what did you do for games or amusements when you were a child and going to school?
Well, our toys were very simple. We grew up, we weren't hungry, we weren't, because we grew up in the valley where there was always growing of something. We were always growing vegetables or whatever, so we had
plentiful. Did your family do any
farming?
Small-scale farming?
No.
You said that your dad worked for the railroad?
Yes, and he did buy a small farm. He bought it was 40 acres, which was not a very big, because he thought one of the boys might be interested in growing something. So he bought 40 acres and... but the boys weren't interested. At the time, they were going to school. They were going to college, the three older ones. And the three younger ones were too little. And they were interested in other things. They were interested in going other directions. And then they started going off to war, to the service, the older ones. And so there was no plans to stay there. They wanted to do something else with their lives. Mm-hmm. Besides farm. So my father kept it, and he raised pigs for the family to eat, you know, to eat. We always had plenty of food, but we were not well off by any means because times were hard.
Were your children involved in this farming activity or?
Oh yes, they worked. My father would take his vacations actually from the railroad when he got his vacations, and he would take my brothers to work in the fields to teach them. I know now that he took them to teach them to work, and he taught them well, believe me, because every one of them is a hardworking boys, men.
So, what were your chores?
My chores was my chores were helping my mother, because I was the only girl, and there was a lot of guys in the family. with my father, there were seven men, you know, and so I helped with the cooking, the cleaning, the canning, the anything inside of the house. I wasn't allowed to do anything outside because the boys were the boys took care of the outside work. So I wasn't allowed to do that.
But you did together get together with your girlfriends.
I had very few girlfriends as a child. It seemed like I was a tomboy. Needless to say, because I had so many brothers, that I didn't play very much. I didn't play with dolls or anything like that. I played with little trucks, and I ran. I was like a deer. I ran out with my brothers or after my brothers or with my brothers, and I was a very good outdoor player.
Okay, so you didn't really have a lot of games and amusements,
no,
right?
Later on, I think probably I might have been maybe 12 or 13, and I had a neighbor that had some girls, and then later on as I grew up, I started getting schoolgirl friends, and that would come and play with me. But mainly, I was a boy, a tomboy.
Mm-hmm. Was your family much involved with church and religion?
Oh, absolutely. My mother was a very strict Catholic, and she wasn't so strict that we went to church every day, but we always had to dress up on Sunday and go to church every Sunday, come hell or high water. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that was a very big part of our life.
Mm-hmm. And the religious events, festivals?
Well, mostly things that went on in the church, but we had no priest in our little town. In order to have Mass, we had to have the priest from San Luis, which was 16 miles away, who came down on Sunday and gave Mass. So we didn't have a lot of festivals there in our little town. But if there was any festivals, we went to San Luis, because that's where they had them, if we were able to go.
Mm-hmm. You went by car then?
Yes, we had one family car, and that was it for everybody. Mostly my brothers drove.
Mm-hmm.
When they got older, then they started getting cars when they were older, a lot older. I mean, you didn't get a car like you do now. You didn't have several cars or anything. And being boys, they would pick up an old car and they'd fix it up. They'd put it together and they'd put wheels on it or whatever it needed. And they'd put it together and make a car out of it. I know one time my brother didn't. He made up this car, and you had to really pump the brakes before it would put the brakes on. I borrowed it one time without his knowing it, and I went and I hit the post office. I hit the post office right on the side of the wall, because the car, I just pushed the brake and it wouldn't stop, and I didn't think, it was too close. I put the brakes on too close, and so I hit the post office. But that was one. I never got to use it again either.
You were mentioning before that your father was also working on the railroad in Salida?
Yes, he. I didn't find out actually until I moved to Salida that my father
had... How old were you when you moved to Salida?
How old was I? I don't know. It was in probably about 25, 26, mm-hmm. something like that. Because we lived in Fort Garland after we were married for about 7.5 years. And then we moved to Salida. And
You said you didn't find out.
Yes, I didn't find out till after we moved here that actually my father had worked here for a short period of time. He didn't exactly specify how long he was here, but he worked here in Salida with the Denver and Rio Grande Railroad.
Had he moved here then, or?
No, I think
he
did.
Was he commuting?
No, he wasn't commuting. He didn't have a way to commute. Mm-hmm. He moved here. I don't know where he lived or anything about that. I never did find out. You know, when
at what time would have been?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. When the railroad was running, that's all I know. Mm-hmm. I don't know the dates. But he did, he worked here for a time, he said.
And when you were a child, did your family make trips to Salida for any reason?
Probably when my father was working, maybe. I don't know whether they did or not. But I never asked them if they made trips to Salida or not. We just kind of moved here. Mm-hmm. After we had a restaurant, we had a supper club over in the valley. And
your family had a restaurant, or you and your husband?
My husband and I, yes. Mm-hmm. And then when we...
Can you just tell me first what year it was when you got married?
Got married in 1955. And like I said, we had it for about 55 or 56, I'm not sure now. But we had it for about... My husband had it before I came into the picture, and for about 3 years, and then we run it for 10 altogether, and then we left and came to Salida.
Okay, so you got married, and your husband was a local man there?
No, my husband was born in the East, in Indiana.
What brought him to the valley?
Well, he actually came to Golden, Colorado. And then from Golden, he came to the San Luis Valley to open up that restaurant. There was a little cafe there where he bought the property. And so he added to it and made it into a supper club. It was big. Mm-hmm. And that's what he came for, and that's how we
met. And it was successful there.
Yes, very successful in the summer. It was very good in the summer, but in the
winter.
Why?
Because
it was a small town. It was had to be. What made it successful was the business we had from all over the valley, but in the winter time when the snow was blowing and it was just too cold for people to travel. The snowstorms and all that, there wasn't enough business to, business is not as good in the wintertime anyway. And in the summer, it was good, you know. We had mm-hmm. people from all over.
What was it called?
The Mont Blanca Supper Club. Mm-hmm. Mont Blanca Supper Club. And it was a successful, but we got tired because of the winters, the long winters. It was just too long. The winters were too long, and it took everything we made in the summer to make it through the winter, you know. So we decided that we should get out of it. Just too hard. Living was hard there because we had a lot of farmers and we had a lot of people that did come, but it wasn't enough. Just wasn't enough in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's why you left?
That's why we left, and we moved to Salida.
Why? Why did you pick Salida?
Well, my husband got a job here, and so we came to Salida temporarily, and we liked it. I fell in love with the town right away, and I just refused to go any further. I just thought it was beautiful. I had the mountains were so beautiful, and over in the valley there was always a lot of wind, lots of wind, and I had a lot of allergies there. I don't know whether it was from the dust, crop dusting of the fields by airplanes, or if it was the actual plants or the dust. I was allergic, very allergic. So when I came here, my allergies all but disappeared when I got here. So I just decided that this was where I wanted to stay. I just loved it. And so this is where I stayed.
So what was your husband's name?
Leroy.
And his last name?
Clock and Frank.
Of course. So you liked it here?
And yes, I liked it
did
here.
Did you make visits to your family?
Oh, absolutely. I had a brother over in San Luis. My oldest brother lived there for a very long time. He just passed away last year in May 2000. I think it was the year 2001. And I still have my sister-in-law still alive, and I have numerous nieces and nephews. They're not there anymore. Some of them came back and built summer homes there, but most of them are away, you know, because they're working someplace else or got careers somewhere else. And I had three children. I had one child over in Fort Garland, the oldest one. She lives in New York now.
Mm-hmm. What are their names?
Her name is Myra Hope. And my second oldest is Rita Jo. And my third oldest is the baby is Chris Leroy.
Mm-hmm. Were there other people from the San Luis Valley living here in Salida at the time that you could associate
visit with? A lot of the people that I have met here, Hispanic people that I have met in Salida, have ties to New Mexico also. So I just get the feeling that there was a lot of Hispanic people with ties to New Mexico, or the parents were born there, or grandparents that moved up this way, up north, into Colorado.
Mm-hmm. And did you feel accepted? In Salida?
Oh, absolutely. I've never really experienced any prejudice at all, really, not really. I haven't had any problem. There's so many different nationalities here, different races, that it doesn't, you know, it hasn't, I think everybody's pretty accepting of others here.
So at the time, was this very much apparent, the ethnic differences, when you moved here? Did you say it was 55?
No, I moved here in the 60s, 62 mm-hmm. or 63. I don't remember the exact date, but it was in the 60s when I moved here. Did I notice what? I'm sorry.
A lot of where ethnic differences quite apparent.
Not really. Not really. I didn't notice any difference. Everybody's... I noticed in Salida, a lot of these people, the Hispanic people, don't speak Spanish. They don't speak both languages, English and Spanish. I don't know why, but I do notice that. And I feel very, very fortunate that my parents taught me Spanish, because I very proud of my heritage and of being Hispanic. I'm very, very proud of that. And so I'm glad that although I married out of my nationality, my husband's German, was German, and it's different. It's a different. You kind of mix the two together, and it's, you kind of lose your own for a while. And I've kind of gone back, and it's different now that he's gone.
Mm-hmm. And
more of who I am alone as me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. You said you felt proud of your Hispanic heritage. What were some specific Hispanic values that were cherished in your family and emphasized?
Well, first of all, family is very important in our family. We're not real, real close, but if any of us would need anything from each other, we'd be right there. That's the kind of family that we are, and there is a closeness with each other. Though, like I said, we don't see each other all the time, but we definitely have a real close tie. And another one was my mother valued education a lot, and she wanted us to be educated. She was very futuristic that way. She wanted us to get an education.
So, did you go to college?
I didn't, no. With my parents, I took college classes, but I didn't go to college per se because I got married so young. And
at what age?
I was 17, going 18, mm-hmm. almost 18. And my mother, you know, they were from the old school. They believed that the boys were the ones that were going to earn the living. They were the important ones to send to school because they would be the providers. And the girls would be provided for. That's the way, that was their thinking in that day. But my mother had told me that, you know, when I got out of high school, they were all going to help me to go to college. Then I got married and got children of my own, started and then sent them to college. So that was...
How much education did your mother have?
My mother, from the way I understand, probably just grade school, maybe up to the eighth grade. My mother was very, very intelligent, very intelligent. You would have thought she used to help my brothers with term papers in college. And I don't know where she got her education, probably from reading or whatever. I don't know.
But and she grew up in New Mexico, too.
Yes. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And my father was the provider. That was his job, main job. And anything that she did or whatever she wanted for the family, he totally supported her. Everything that she said was good for the family, he backed her up. In discipline, in anything, he backed her up, which was, I think, was really good. I didn't think so at the time, but I think so now. So I even forgot what question you asked me.
Oh, about the values.
The values and the values. And, also to be good, upright citizens, work hard. A lot of work ethic, get educated, and be good citizens, and serve your country, and all of that. They were very good citizens that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. During the Second World War, were any of the men in the family involved in the Second World War?
Yes, yes. My oldest brother George was in France and Germany during the war, and so was my brother Max. They both fought, and they were both in the army, and I'm sure it changed them forever. It did, particularly my brother Max, because I noticed it when he came back. Yeah.
In what way?
I think he grew up a lot in the service, and I don't know, he just was not the same when he came back. I noticed it because he was very close to me, and he was kind of distracted a lot. He thought a lot. his mind was not in the present. It was like more in the past, and the something that had gone on. That's the way I saw it. I used to watch him pace up and down in the kitchen, and I would sit down in a chair and watch him because he was so close to me, and I wondered what happened to him. You know, I just thought, what happened to this man that I knew so well and that I thought I knew so well? I mean, when he came back, he was different. And then soon after that, he met his present wife, and he married her and started having children of his own. So, they fought in the war, and in fact, they even met. They were in different battalions, and they met in France. One of my brothers heard that particular battalion, another battalion, was about 10 miles away or whatever, and he walked that distance to go see my other brother, and they met and they spent the night talking, and then he walked back. And one of my brothers, the one that he went to see, was in a tank. He operated a tank, or was in one of those big tanks, you know. So they did see each other there. I have a picture of them with their arms around each other, so happy to see each other. Mm-hmm. And then my third oldest brother went to officers' training school, and he was in the Korean conflict, but he was an officer, and which he later became a colonel in the Marines.
I know this was before your time, but in your family, was there ever talk about the depression and how it affected them?
Oh, absolutely. I was about 5 years old, and I remember some of it.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember?
I remember that we were rationed, that we had to have coupons. In fact, I still have my little book. Each one of the family had a little book with their name on it. And you were given so many stamps for sugar or flour or whatever it was they rationed. And you had to use these little stamps. And I still have I had stamps left over, so I'm I must have not used them all. But I remember part of it. I remember my mother. You know, it was hard times. It was hard times for them. But like I said, we were lucky about where we were and the fact that my father had a steady income because he was a railroader. And during the war, you know, they shipped a lot of stuff by railroad and trucks and so on and so forth. So my dad had steady work, which helped the family a lot. Mm-hmm. But we still struggled because we were so many. But we had my brothers and a local man there built our home out of adobe. Two bricks at a time, two brick molds. They made them. And my brothers and this man taught them how to do it. And they made every single brick that went on that house. And that's our family. It was our family home until we left there. Mm-hmm. In the 60s, my parents left and went to Denver. And the house is still standing. It looks really good now. They've done some additions to it. It looks really great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of nice to see that it's still standing because my brothers built it. So,
were there many homes built out of adobe at the time?
In New Mexico, mostly. In New Mexico, I remember.
No, but
in the Fort Garland, I'm not sure. I was still too little to pay attention at that time. You know, I didn't pay attention, but I'm sure there is. And even in San Luis, there's a lot of them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In San Luis, which is only 16 miles away from there, there's a lot of houses made of adobe.
Yeah, and about the depression, did your parents ever, you said, you know, you experienced it yourself, you can remember it, but what was it that they said about it later?
Well, my parents talked about it being really tough times. So even though, like I said, we seemed to have food on the table. I mean, we didn't have a variety of food. We had the simple things to eat. A staple.
How much of it did you grow?
We had a garden, but we lived so close to the fields of produce that they, in fact, the elevator where they shipped it off was just right there by our house. It was just about, oh, probably a mile from our house, where they brought the produce there and put it in refrigerated boxcars by freight, by train, and sent it off to other parts of the country. So there was always excess left over because there was so much that there was always some left over where they could go get some. They could just
and
go get it.
What were these varieties of produce?
Oh, my goodness. There was lettuce, of course. You know, the valley is known for their lettuce. And there was spinach. There was cauliflower, cabbage. Peas. It was a lot of things. A lot of produce. Potatoes, of course. Potatoes are still grown there. And now they have even mushrooms that they didn't have then. But there was a variety of vegetables that they grew there. So we, broccoli, lots of broccoli, because we used to play. They used to fill out orders over there by the elevator, and then they'd throw over the piles for the cattle to eat. And my brothers and I would go and play on top of the broccoli piles and stink at the end of the day with the sun beating down on the broccoli, you know. Oh, my gosh. My mother would just make us dress outside. That's how bad it was. But and I think about it every time I go buy broccoli at the store now, how we played with it. But there was plenty of food, vegetables particularly. Yeah. But there wasn't an abundance of anything, you know. I mean, we weren't allowed to go to, like, to the fields and get it. There was a lot of radishes, a lot of carrots. In fact, I tried working in the radishes and the carrots myself, but I didn't last very long because it was really backbreaking work. And you got so very little at that time. You had to pick carrots. You had to pick 12 carrots per bundle, and then you put 12 bundles together, which made a gross, and then you tied that around, and you got a quarter for picking all that, all those carrots, and the radishes was the same thing. So
how old were you at the time when you were doing
that? Oh, I was probably 15, 14, 15, when I talked my father into letting me out start. I was a teenager, and I wanted dresses, and I wanted skirts, what we were wearing in the 50s, you know. And my dad didn't want me to go, but he finally consented because I wanted to go so bad. And I lasted about 2 weeks. It was so hot, and it was just backbreaking work in the hot sun and everything. I couldn't handle it. So I didn't stay very long.
You said you were saving for dresses.
For dresses and
clothes. So where did you go shopping?
We had to go clear to Alamosa, was the nearest town that had anything like that over in Alamosa. That was 25 miles west of Fort Garland.
But you never came shopping to Salina?
No. That was a real trip to come to Salina. You know what I mean? It was just, we just didn't have that. One car just didn't go that many places because there was too many people using it in the family. And we just used it once in a while. We would go shopping maybe for food. Because there were certain things you couldn't get there in the Fort Garland, in the little town. So we would go to Alamosa to get some of the things that we couldn't get there in Fort Garland.
Mm-hmm. In Alamosa, on those shopping trips, was Spanish spoken there?
Oh, yes. Spanish was spoken everywhere, really. There was. People spoke Spanish most of the time. But later on, you know, English just kind of took over. You know, that was the way to communicate with other people. So that's how you did it. You did it. But among Spanish people, they all spoke in Spanish. I notice even now some people still speak in Spanish. Mm-hmm. Even though they know both. But they still speak in Spanish. A lot of them. Over in the valley.
Mm-hmm. So when you... When you came to Salina, was that, you said you loved the place, but was it an adjustment to make?
Yes, it was. It was bigger. For one thing, Fort Garland was so small, and it was bigger, and the schools, there was more, you know, children in schools and everything. But I was excited about it. I really liked it, and I never felt like it was that big of an adjustment. It wasn't that much bigger that I needed to adjust, you know, in that way. I don't know. I just adjust easily. I just did that. Nothing really bothers me that way. I just kind of go with the flow, sort of more or less. You know, I just do it. And my mother taught me that. My mother taught me that you don't look back. You always look forward. You don't look back. And that's why a lot of the history I don't know, because I didn't look back. I always look forward to the future. Yeah.
What are the differences, the changes that you've watched in Salida in those years that you've lived here?
Oh, gee. Salida, for a long time, I think, it just kind of stood still. There was not much growth. I noticed that people had to move away from Salida to be able to make enough money to live on. There wasn't anything to really do, and unless you had your own job, so to speak, like being a school teacher or a lawyer or whatever, a doctor, there wasn't much work here for the average person. So a lot of the children that you had to move away to make a living. And I don't think that particular thing has changed much, but I do notice that there's more building going on and people are moving in. I don't know if the population has changed that much. I'm sure it has, but changed some. But it's pretty much stayed a small community. But I think Salidans are very tolerant people. For the most part, very open to people coming in. And I think they're very tolerant and very open.
Do you think the demographics are different now? There are different people here than when you moved?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
In which way?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people moving in from other states here. They in not only other states, but right here in Colorado, they're moving in and retiring here because it's a slower pace and the people are very friendly and they seem to like it here once they move here. And I think we have better health care than we had at that time. We had very good doctors, I think. We had excellent medical care, you know, for the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think for the most part, there is people moving in all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't really know whether it's people that are, I think it's people that are retiring is what I think it is, mostly. I know you're interviewing me, but what do you think about it? I mean, you've lived here how long?
I'm not supposed to give my opinions.
Oh, okay.
Is there anything else that you would like to talk about?
No. If you ask me questions, I might. I think Salida has a great future. I think it has a great future. I don't think it's growing at a real, real big rate of, speed, but I think it's growing. We have some nice places being built all over, and so I think that's good growth. I think that the downtown area will also grow. I really think that it will eventually. I think that there will be some people come in and open up the town and put some new businesses in. There is all the time, you know. So, hopefully, it'll grow some more. Not too big, though. But we do need some kind of an industry of some sort.
Okay, anything else?
No, I don't think so.
Then I want to thank you very much for your time and your good memories.
Okay, thank you. I hope I was helpful.